Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 28 May, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that you've magnified your word over all of your name, and therefore the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The Las Ventanas Senior Living Center update, the Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, May 21st went very well. We had a great turnout with seven ladies, including Ellie and Joan, who have not attended in several weeks. Last week, Irma attended for the first time when she seemed to wander in by mistake during the middle of the lesson. But it was not a mistake. This week, Irma returned and was eager to know what Bible passage we were studying. We always help the ladies find a seat as they arrive, because everyone uses a walker or a wheelchair. Dorothy, who always wears the most colorful blouse, earned a compliment from Dina Blair again this week. You won't get any compliments from me. We listened to the second half of lesson number 11 in the Heaven Special. In this lesson, Pastor Olson taught from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, explaining how to walk by faith by using the eyes of our soul rather than walking by sight with our physical eyes. He then taught from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 38, which gives numerous examples of those who walk by faith, like Abel, Abraham, Jacob, Rahab, David, and others. After the closing prayer, I reminded everyone that the faith described by Pastor Olson in this lesson is the same faith we can use to secure our destiny in heaven. Through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. To God be the glory as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Second Corinthians 7, we'll start at verse 9. We're right in the middle of repentance. By the way, that's why we have silent prayer, in case some of you have to repent. Verse 9, as things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God. This is very unique and powerful phrase here. According to the will of God. For the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us, Paul and his team. In no way were the believers in Corinth damaged or injured by Paul's tough love teaching of 1 Corinthians. Rather, just the opposite. They were blessed by his tough love teaching of grace and truth. 1 Corinthians was their wake-up call. They came to their senses. They rebounded. They got back into fellowship with God, back into the filling of the Spirit, back into their spiritual life, and they started moving out. Now, as far as the pastor goes, or the faithful communicator of the Word of God goes, there's no fun for the pastor when he has to get tough with the congregation. It's absolutely necessary, but it's not fun for the pastor to do that. He would much rather be able to have everyone come in positive volition, humility, come in with a great smile, happy to be here, happy to find out what God has for you today. Looking forward, there's nothing more important. This is where you want to be. This is where God wants you to be. And boy, when that happens, that's the best of the best for the pastor. Now in verse 10, we have true and false repentance. Verse 10, corrected translation, says, for the soul pain that is according to the will of God. Here we have this, and we're going to see this again in the next verse, verse 11. The soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from dying discipline, the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, well, that produces maximum divine discipline, dying discipline, the sin unto death. And that brought us to the doctrine of repentance. Very important doctrine in the Word of God. We only study point one, definition. And the key when you start out with this doctrine is the etymology of the words involved. This is absolutely critical. Of course, this is critical in every doctrine of the Word of God. And that's why if you have the gift of pastor-teacher, you prepare for the ministry. You go to a seminary where Hebrew and Aramaic and Greek is taught, and you get all of the languages you can get, because the God-breathed scriptures are written in Hebrew, Aramaic, and Koine Greek. And if you want to communicate what God the Holy Spirit put there, then you study from the exegesis, eisegogically, categorically, exegetically, the Word of God. And etymology is a very, very important part of that. Etymology is looking at the actual words that God the Holy Spirit had the writers of these books put down. And in repentance, this is so critical, the doctrine of repentance. There is the verb metanoeo. And this is a compound word, metanoe, long O, metanoel. It has the preposition meta, that's the word to change. And noeo, that means to think. So this is the verb for repentance, to change your thinking. Now, there is a cognate noun that comes from that, metanoia. Oops. Metanoia. This is a compound cognate noun. Again, change. And then this is the noun nous, and that's your mind. To change your mind. So these are the two key words for the doctrine of repentance. Now, unfortunately, in some of the English translations that you have another word there, metamelomai. Metamelomai. Now, this is not the verb for biblical repentance. This is an emotional. Metanoia, that puts the emphasis, the spotlight on your thinking, the mentality of the soul. This puts the spotlight on the emotions of the soul. And repentance has nothing to do with your emotions. You can feel sorry for your sins. That's not repentance. And I hear that a lot from so-called great believers, fundies. They feel sorry for their sins. That's not repentance. And that isn't rebound. That isn't even getting you back into fellowship with God, feeling sorry for your sins. This is the word that emphasizes, puts the spotlight on emotions. And so you regret something that you did. You regret doing this. And of course, the great example of that is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, here he was with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was with Christ personally to see everything Jesus Christ did by way of miracles and everything. He never believed in Jesus Christ as a Savior. Judas Iscariot was an unbeliever. He never placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And he betrayed Christ and turned him over to the authorities to be crucified. And after he betrayed Jesus Christ, turned him over, and they took him and crucified him, he had regrets. He didn't believe in Christ. All he had was he felt sorry for his betraying Jesus Christ. But he did not have salvation repentance. He did not change his thinking and believe that Jesus Christ was the only Savior. Did not believe that he was the Messiah. He did not believe in him for salvation. All he felt was he was sorry for betraying Christ, and he was crucified. That's metamelomai. So you have to, again, very important to do etymology in any doctrine, but it's so critical in the doctrine of repentance. We studied point one. Now we're at point two in the doctrine of repentance. And point two is salvation repentance, or believing in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, that is salvation repentance. So, let's amplify that. One, faith in Christ and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Faith in Christ and repentance are two sides of the same coin. Two. A change of mental attitude about the person and the work of Christ equals repentance and results in faith in Christ. A change of mental attitude about the person and work of Christ equals repentance. Three. Repentance results in the exhale of faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. See, Judas Iscariot, he did not change his thinking about Christ. He never believed he was the Messiah. He never believed he was the only Savior. He never believed that he would solve the world problem of sin. He never believed that he was the only Redeemer. He just looked at him as a teacher, as did most of the church leaders and religious leaders in Christ's day. They only looked at Jesus Christ as a didaskalos. And they called him that. They called him didaskalos. They called him teacher. They didn't call him Messiah. They didn't believe he was the Messiah. They didn't believe he was the only Savior. And all they wanted to do was kill him. That's all they wanted to do. And they kept saying again and again, show us the sign. Show us the semeion. Do something miraculous. And Jesus Christ had already done miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. And they still said, show us another sign. And finally, at that point, Jesus Christ said, that's it. A reversionistic and adulterous generation keeps asking for signs, miracles, and you won't have any more signs except the sign of Jonah. And as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the earth, you put me to death. You crucify me. 3 days later, I will be resurrected. That's the only sign left that I will show you. There are all these religious leaders, self-righteous. They thought they were all going to be in heaven. None of them were in heaven. All they did was crucify the Messiah, the Son of God. And that was right in the plan of God. They were fulfilling that magnificent plan that God the Father had. Operation Grace. And in so doing, Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. So sub point four. First, you change your mind about Christ. And then you believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. That changing your mind about Christ is that now you place your faith in Christ for eternal salvation. Oh, turn over to 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but He is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, eternal condemnation in the lake of fire, but for all to come to repentance. To come to repentance. Eternal salvation. By faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 2 Peter 3, 9. Now that's God. That's the thinking of God. When God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, He had the Son, and the Son, by His own free will, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." That plan of Operation Grace was to solve the sin problem of the whole world. Why? Why the whole world? Why not just for those who would believe? For the whole world, right here. Because God's not willing that anyone should perish. It was God's will. He would love to see every person in humanity believe in Christ as their Savior. The only way they could have salvation is if the sins of the whole world were gathered up and imputed to Christ and judged in Christ once and for all. And they were. He not only paid the penalty of the sins who would believe in Christ, He paid the penalty of the sins of those who would never believe in Christ. And this is God's virtue love. This is God's amazing virtue love. His amazing impersonal love for the whole world in spiritual death and total depravity. He has this phenomenal impersonal love for every member of the human race. So that they're all potentially savable. And at that moment of simple faith in Jesus Christ, they have eternal salvation. So this is absolutely, this is one of the great repentance verses, salvation repentance verses right here, 2 Peter 3, 9, connected with God's impersonal love for the whole world. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all, He would love to see everyone come to repentance and believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. Turn over to Luke. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And if you have a red letter edition, you know it's got a lot of red letters here. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and in Luke chapter 15, verse 7. Now this is the Lord Jesus Christ teaching, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons. These are self-righteous. These are the self-righteous Pharisees. These are the self-righteous religious leaders in the time of Christ. They were self-righteous. They didn't believe in Christ. They hated Christ. They didn't need to believe in Christ. He wasn't the Messiah. He was a demon-possessed person in their eyes. He should have been put on the cross and crucified. And he was, and they were happy to see that. But Jesus says, I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 self-righteous persons who do not need to repent. The self-righteous Pharisees and religious leaders didn't think that they needed to repent. They did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, the only Savior. Then go down to verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is salvation repentance. Luke 15. Also, turn over to Acts 20. Acts 20. Acts 20, verse 21. Acts 20, verse 21. I have declared to both Jews and Gentiles that they must turn to God in repentance, even faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And here you have salvation repentance. I have declared to both Jews and Gentiles that they must turn to God in repentance, even, what is this repentance? Even faith in our Lord Jesus. And then turn over to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. And again, the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll start at verse 38, but once again he is teaching. Matthew 12, 38. Then some of the Pharisees, religious leaders and teachers of the law, said to him, to Christ, Didaskalos. They only called him a teacher because they didn't believe he was the Messiah. They wanted to kill him. They did not believe he was the Messiah. They did not believe he was the Son of God. They did not believe he was the only Savior, the only Redeemer. He was only a Didaskalos in their thinking. So then some of the religious leaders, Pharisees and teachers of the law, said to him, Didaskalos, we want to see a Simeon, another miraculous sign. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ had performed Simeon after Simeon after Simeon, and they still do not believe he's the Messiah, the only Savior, the Redeemer. So he answered, a reversionistic and adulterous, this is spiritual adultery, generation keeps on asking for a miraculous sign, but none. No, that's over. None will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then this was Jesus Christ nailing him. The men of Nineveh. You remember Nineveh and Jonah? God sent Jonah to Nineveh. And Jonah told the people of Nineveh, either you all believe in Jesus Christ or you're toast, you're out of here, you're dead, you're going to be wiped. There won't even be Nineveh. There will be no Nineveh. And Jonah thought when he said that, he wanted to see them wiped out. Jonah did not care for these people at all. Either you believe in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, or God is going to wipe out Nineveh. You'll all be gone. So, they believed in Christ. There was a great, great spiritual revival. They believed in Christ. Nineveh. And this was Nineveh that the Jewish people, they're the ones that came down and destroyed the northern kingdom. They're the ones that took them in slavery, put hooks in their backs and led them off to slavery back to Nineveh. They were so cruel. And the Jewish people just, they hated the Ninevites. Jonah went in there. In fact, he didn't even want to. In fact, God said, I want you to go to Nineveh. So Jonah went on a ship heading out on the Mediterranean cruise. And then he got a bad storm, and everybody wanted to know what was the cause of the storm. And it was Jonah disobeying God. So they took him and threw him in the water. And this great fish, he got a submarine ride. All the way back, he got a submarine ride. Spit out on the ground. And it's amazing how you can repent. How you can change your thinking. You know what, Father, I was a little out of line here, and I think I'll go to Nineveh. Well, great. I'll go up there. I don't want to see them believe in Christ, but I will go up there and I'll tell them, you either believe or you're toast. They believed. Huge revival in Nineveh. So Jesus Christ said, the men of Nineveh, now they totally understand this Nineveh, what that stands for. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now a greater than Jonah is here. Me, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's salvation, repentance. Those are all great passages. I think I like the Matthew 28, 38 to 41. That one's right up there. Subpoint 5. Emotion does not save anyone. Emotion does not save anyone. Feeling sorry for your sins does not save you. Only faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, saves you. Not emotion. So that's salvation, repentance, or believing in Christ. Point 3 is reversion, recovery, repentance. Reversion, recovery, repentance. Let's take a look at this. Subpoint one, reversion, recovery, repentance must start with rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Immediately you're put back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit in your spiritual life. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of reversion, recovery, repentance. Two, when you acknowledge your sins, you acknowledge your sins to God, not to people. You acknowledge your sins to God, not to people. Three, you rebound, you get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, your spiritual life, and then you get up and move on. You rebound, get back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and your spiritual life, and then you get up and move on. Four, reversion, recovery, repentance, then, includes a change of mental attitude. You change from negative volition to positive volition. You change from arrogance to humility. When you're in reversionism, you are in interlocking systems of arrogance, and usually hooked up with interlocking systems of hatred. And if you're going to recover, reversion, recovery, repentance, it includes a change of mental attitude. You have to change your thinking from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. And when you have that change of mental attitude, now you will have respect for God, respect for the Word of God, respect for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. And of course, this same principle in Revelation 3, 19 and 20, we've seen this in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. He skins alive with a whip. And that's addressed to believers in reversionism. Well, that's what we have here in Revelation 3, 19 and 20. Those whom I love, I rebuke, that's warning discipline, and punish, that's intensive discipline. So be earnest and repent. Rebound, got to start with rebound, and then change your mental attitude from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. And then he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. This is divine discipline. When Jesus Christ is knocking on your door, that's divine discipline. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, rebound, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. You're back into fellowship with God. So Revelation 3, 19 and 20 teaches passage on reversion, recovery, repentance, and then, of course, our passage. 2 Corinthians 7, 9 and 10. That's what this is, reversion, recovery, repentance. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I am not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us. For the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from dying discipline, the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, produces dying discipline, the sin unto death. Subpoint 5. When a believer out of fellowship with God, living the carnal reversionistic life, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, when he does not repent, when he does not change his attitude toward God and the Word of God, then your life is out of control. You're like a horse running in the middle of a battle. And we'll see this. I'll give that to you to have a little bit long for that point. When a believer out of fellowship with God, living the carnal reversionistic life, interlocking systems of arrogance, interlocking systems of hatred, does not repent, does not change his thinking, does not change his attitude toward God and the Word of God, then your life will be totally out of control due to evil in your life. And there's a great passage in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah saw this in his day. The southern kingdom, Judah, they hated Jeremiah. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They even threw Jeremiah into a pit. They wanted to see him die. They didn't listen to what Jeremiah taught. And sure, here comes the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, and destroyed the southern kingdom, Judah, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, slaughtered the people, took the survivors back to Babylon. So Jeremiah communicates what happens when you don't repent. When you're in reversionism and you don't repent, well, turn over to Jeremiah chapter 8. Of course, we got a lot of Christians in America today in reversionism. And hopefully they will come to their senses and repent. But right now the pivot of mature believers in this nation is so small. The only hope is for that pivot to become large. That will demand a spiritual revival. Jeremiah chapter 8. So the Lord tells Jeremiah, you teach this to the people in the southern kingdom. You teach them this. Say to them, this thus saith the Lord. And I can still hear Pastor Breckel at Bethany Bible Church. He would stand up there. Thus saith the Lord! He had white hair and he had blue eyes and he had a red face. Thus saith the Lord! Red, white, and blue? Why, we all stood up and sang the Star Spangled Banner, you know. And I love that guy, and you know, and Pastor Colonel Thame recognized that Pastor Breckel was doing a better job than any pastor in the nation teaching the grace and truth of the Word of God. Well, the Lord said, say to them, thus saith the Lord. When men fall down, do they not get up? This is an illustration of repentance. When you fall down, do you not get up? Well, that's an illustration of repentance. When a man turns away, does he not return? Another illustration of repentance. Why then have these people turned away? Why does Jerusalem always turn away? This is in the days of Jeremiah. They're in the great, great apostasy, degeneracy, and the fifth cycle of discipline is coming. They cling to deceit, and they refuse to return. They refuse to return. They refuse to repent. The Lord says, I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. No one repents of his reversionism. No one! And they were taken out. Evil one, the Chaldeans, destroyed. Evil two, the client nation to God, Judah, in the fifth cycle of national discipline. It was the Lord that brought the evil one, the Chaldeans, to destroy his client nation because they refused. No one repents of his reversionism. They're toast. Saying, what have I done? Each pursues his own course. He does what is right in his own eyes. Now, that characterizes Christians today in America. Everybody's doing what's right in their own eyes. Each pursues his own course, does what's right in his own eyes. And now he illustrates, like a horse charging into battle. Well, you take a horse into battle, that horse is all over the place. Everything going on. That's why I said your life is out of control. You're like a horse in the battle. I was watching it. I love watching Westerns. Old Westerns. And I like watching the old Mavericks with James Garner, Brett Maverick. I could care less about Bart and Bo and all the other ones later on. But James Garner, Brett Maverick. And there were, here's all these guys on these horses, about four of them, and one guy standing alone. And the guys on the horses said, all right, he's going to count to 10. And if you don't get out of here before he counts to 10, you're dead. And that guy standing there goes, well, I don't think he even knows how to count to 10. I like that guy right off the bat. James Garner, Brett was back behind him. You can see him. And he walked out. And he said, well, it's not four against one, and now it's four against two. I'm with him. And so the guy, he'd already been up to eight, and now he's getting nervous, and he goes, four. The guy, we're at four. Get back up to eight. Oh, eight, nine, ten, and eight. The Maverick and his friend, boom, boom, boom. As soon as they started shooting, the horses go, ah! And threw those guys off, and they shot and killed all four of them. It's very hard to hit anything when your horse is going up and down. And that's what Brett Maverick says. And the guy said, thanks for coming out. He said, well, I knew once we just shot at those horses, they would start bucking and going all over. And it's very hard to hit anybody when your horse is bucking all around. Now that's a good show. Well, that's what he says here. Your life's out of control. Point four, metanoeo versus metamelomai. Metanoeo versus metamelomai. First of all, a metanoeo is the verb for repentance. It means to change your mind. It means to change your thinking. It means to change your mental attitude. Metanoeo deals with the mentality of the soul. That's the verb for repentance, to change your mind, to change your thinking, to change your mental attitude. However, metamelomai, that's the emotional verb. It deals with the emotions, and it means to regret. It never, ever means to repent. So metamelomai is simply emotions. Metamelomai means to feel sorry for something that you have done. Metamelomai is used for the mental attitude of Judas Iscariot. The mental attitude of Judas Iscariot. Turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 1. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. So this is all of the religious leaders. The chief priests and the elders of the people, they plotted against Jesus to put him to death. They wanted to crucify him. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Of course, who's the one who betrayed Jesus? Judas Iscariot. Verse 3. When Judas, who had betrayed him, who had betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, he didn't believe that he was the Messiah either, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with metamelomai. He was seized with metamelomai. Regret, remorse. He feels sorry for what he did in betraying Christ. And he returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied. That's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left. And then he went away and he hanged himself. He committed suicide. He died an unbeliever. He's in torments now. He'll be in the lake of fire for all eternity. What a sad state, because you were with the Messiah, the only Savior. You saw all of his miracles. You listened to all of his teaching. And you never placed your faith in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation. But he will be in eternity in the lake of fire. So, Judas regretted what he had done. He regretted it. Betraying our Lord. But he never repented. He never believed in our Lord for salvation. he never believed in Jesus Christ for salvation. Two, Judas met a Melomite, but he did not met a Noeo. He had emotional regret, but no repentance, no faith in Jesus Christ. Judas met a Melomite, but he did not met a Noeo. He had emotional regret, but no repentance, no faith in Jesus Christ. So biblical repentance is a very important doctrine in the Word of God that we need to totally understand. All right, so verses 9 and 10, which is the great passage on repentance. As things now stand, I keep on having happiness. I'm not happy that you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow, but I am happy that your soul pain and sorrow resulted in your repentance. For you were caused to have soul pain and sorrow according to the will of God, for the purpose that in no way did you suffer loss or injury or harm because of us, Paul and his team. For the soul pain that is according to the will of God produces true repentance without regret that results in deliverance from maximum divine discipline, dying discipline, the sin unto death. But the sorrow of Satan's cosmic system, false repentance, produces maximum divine discipline, death, the sin unto death. Now that brings us to verse 11, and we're going to have verse 11 again, according to the will of God. In verse 11, so we continue on. Now in verse 11, we have the results of true repentance, the true repentance of the believers in Corinth. And when Paul got the fantastic report from Titus, well, it just made his heart happy. And he knows that they've got had true repentance. They knew they have come to the point they recognized they were 100% wrong, and they recognized that Paul was 100% right. And so they repented. They rebounded, got back into fellowship, back into the filling of the Spirit and the spiritual life. They've changed their mental attitude from negative to positive, from arrogance to humility. And now we have the result of that true repentance of these believers in Corinth. And that's verse 11. And there's seven results in verse 11. This is one of the longer verses in the Bible. I can tell here. The last verse, I got it written down here in three lines. This one's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 lines. Well, you got to come back next week if you want to find out about the seven results of their true repentance. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. For we pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.